James and John were known as Sons of Thunder, and it's a little bit fun to think of the nicknames you've had throughout your life. And I don't know if any time you've been called a Son of Thunder or some other phrase that was meant to be somewhat complimentary. They, I think, were called Sons of Thunder because they were loud, and most of us are loud, at least on the inside, about something. In fact, most of us are loud concerning ourselves, and that's what James and John were stuck on a little bit as they approached Jesus and were followers of his, had obvious flaws like you and I. So they come up to Jesus and they say, "We have a question for you." And he says, "What is it? Give us what we want." That's a familiar prayer that perhaps you and I have prayed a lot. Give us what we want. And Jesus says, "Well, what do you want?" And they say, "Grant that we sit at your right hand and your left hand in glory." Now, initially, when we read that story, we think, wow, you know, who would dare say such a thing as that? But when you think about it, James and John were just following their instincts. They were being who they were before Christ. When you were growing up in school and maybe went to art class or something, and the teacher said, "Who wants to pass out the pencils? Pick me." Or you were in gym class and the teacher said, "Who wants to be captain of this soccer team?" Me first. Well, that's James and John. They were being who they were before God. It's interesting that Jesus does not get angry with them for their request. He recognizes they have a lot of drive inside. He wants to redirect that drive. Other people get mad at James and John for their request. To 10. Jesus doesn't. He accepts them where they are, redirects their request to a teaching opportunity, calls them all together and says, "You know, out in the world, in the world that doesn't believe in God, in the Gentile world, people lord it over one another. And they like to boss each other around. They always ask, how many people am I in charge of?" Okay, that was the Gentile world, which we are familiar with. Jesus says that's not to be so among you. That's not to be your goal in life. You know, what kind of responsibility can you even take on in terms of being in charge of others? Don't think that way. Think of another way. How many people can you serve? How many people can you serve? A new way of looking at life. And to honor Christ and be close to him is really to ask the question, who can I serve? If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. That's a little child's song I tried to teach to my sons. I'm still trying to teach to myself. I had a chance to meet a City of Pittsburgh policeman a couple of weeks ago at a ministry opportunity. And he was sharing about how hard it is to be a policeman. He's on the bomb squad and has a lot of other responsibilities. So it's danger every day. And he's a very committed Christian. He's on a worship team at a church in the area where he lives. And he shared with the ministry class that he always wanted to have a big impact for God. Almost like saying, well, to be a Jesus right and left hand, at least in terms of influence. You know, how could he do that? That was his desire. So he prayed to get a couple promotions that he thought were keys for him in the department to have a, you know, more visible voice and more prominent position. And he really prayed about those, and they were coming up, but he didn't get them. He was passed over. And so initially he was very discouraged, but he continued to serve and do what he did to the best of his ability, influencing those who were in charge of him and also being in the community very much. And he said, much to his surprise and much to his delight, he found himself having more and more influence for the Lord, more and more people's lives to touch in the position he was in than in the promotion he thought was the key. He learned how to serve and to serve well right where he was at. And that's something God calls us to. Can you serve well right where you are before the next responsibility comes or the next opportunity? if we're faithful in that somewhat little thing, God will maybe open another door, and we can learn to be faithful with more responsibility. You serve God by serving others. A big lesson, a hard lesson, because it requires a lot of unselfishness. Probably the biggest idol or the biggest God we have in our lives is self or selfishness. And it really takes a surrender to Christ to say, okay, my goal in life is to be a servant. You know, you ask young people today, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, 9 out of 10 are not going to say, I want to be a servant. I want to help as many people as possible. And that's my goal. Jesus said, as a Christian, as a follower of His, and somebody believes in Him, you know, so, what a radical call. We say, okay, you're going to come into my life and save my soul, Jesus, save me from hell itself. I'll be glad to serve you. And so it's a tough call. It's a good call. Serving is underrated in terms of a way to even get to know the Lord. Heard a true story of a group of the church was asked to go to a women's shelter and do some work there, some very difficult cleanup and painting of a building that needed a lot of attention. And they were asked afterwards, what impact did that have on your walk with God? You know, did it do anything for you spiritually? 90% of them said, yes, it did. It was a positive experience. The people who didn't like to get dirty said, we didn't like that at all. We could identify with that. But they said it was a positive influence. And the same amount of people said it was as positive in their walk with God as was prayer and Bible study. Prayer, Bible study, serving. Learn to be the servant of all. Jesus said that was His mission, not to come and be served, but to serve. Great example for us. I know in my own life, serving has come slow for me for a lot of different reasons. I think, well, I'll let somebody else do it. That's excuse number one. Number two, I'm too busy. Number three, I'm not good at that. So I have the excuses down. When I don't serve, I miss out. I really do feel like I miss out. When I do serve, I feel like I'm doing what God wants me to do, even if I'm not serving well. At least I'm there. When we have projects that require skill, I can be the donut guy. You know what the donut guy does? He goes and gets the donuts. He brings them back and he says, here's the donuts. God calling you to serve and you getting to know God by serving and you honoring Him by serving. Great plan for your life, Jesus has. It was said about Jesus that He was a servant in Isaiah 42. He's described it this way, as this way. The Father in heaven says, here's my servant. And He will open the eyes of the blind and set those free who are in prison. Could you imagine joining Jesus in that ministry as you serve others? You know, you're opening eyes of the blind. You're setting prisoners free. Something real redemptive goes on. Your life's like a sermon. Yeah, nothing like a living sermon. And to make an impact. The Apostle Paul, great Christian leader in the early church, signs three of his letters. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Maybe that could be a part of our identity. What are they like as a Christian? They like to serve. They're always looking out to help somebody. Could be your identity. You're a friend of Christ through obedience. You're adopted by God as a child of His through grace. When you turn to Christ, if there's that need in your life this morning, hey, I want to be a Christian. I don't want to be selfish all my life. Someone said when you waste your own life, you take the best part of God's creation and you make it a dump. I think it was Earth Day a couple days ago. You know, I think we ought to be green people. But be green with your soul. Let God save that soul. Restore that. That's the best part of His creation. You are. Be a servant. One of the healthy calls to servanthood is to concentrate on your own serving. Real servants don't resent those not serving. After the resurrection, Jesus restored Peter. A sermon about that a couple weeks ago. Peter, when Jesus looked at Peter, he said, "Follow me." You know what the first thing Peter did was? He turned around, he looked at John, and he said to Jesus, "What about him? How come he's not doing what you're asking me to do? How come, is he doing anything?" You'll be a better servant if you concentrate on your servant. Not look at somebody else and say, "What about them?" That's not your job as a servant. Your job as a servant is to serve. And God will call the other to serve. You'll be set free as you do that. Last best thing about serving, which I really like, is serving helps us take on an attitude of restoration, forgiveness, graciousness, encouragement to our fellow servants. Okay. Probably soldiers understand this. People who work together in tough tasks understand this. It's an attitude that says we're going to have a welcoming, forgiving heart to our fellow servants. Jesus taught about that in Matthew 18. The one who had a debt of $100,000, he was called to forgive the one who owed him $5. You know, we all have a debt before God that Jesus is willing to pay. And then how we treat our fellow servants is impacted by that. The last verse in James says this: if any of you should wander from the truth, someone should bring him back. So as a servant, I'm thinking, who is wandering so that I might get him back on a safe path with Christ? That's a part of the calling that you have as a child of God. You know, in the Bible, there's about 40 one another verses in the Bible. One another means you and myself and the person next to you. And it's kind of for everybody. It's an everybody verse, one another. And it says, edify, encourage, forbear, love, pray for, confess sins to, stir up to love and good works. Because that's how a family functions. A family functions when somebody's astray. The servants of the family, sometimes mom or dad or the older children, they guess, we're going to go help them. Where are they? Growing up, where's my little brother? He's out there and he's in danger. Let's go get him. And you do it with a loving attitude. You do it with a heart. You don't do it with a non-servant, lording over people kind of attitude. Paul said, do it with gentleness, Galatians 6. Charles Spurgeon said, the improper way to be a servant toward your fellow servants is this way. He said, I have known a person in sin hunted down like a wolf. That's not a servant heart. You know, when you see somebody who's having a tough time, you don't hunt them down like a wolf. You be a shepherd to them. Are you a wolf servant? That's not a good servant. You hunt them down like a wolf. Or are you a shepherd servant? Hey, come on. Be over here. You know, remember the strength you could have with God. Hey, you're loved by everybody. Come and follow Christ. You kind of the Father's heart. Run down the street. Cover them with welcome, a welcome heart, forgiveness, and grace. And learn to be the servant of all. That's how Jesus treats us. He's that shepherd to us. He's not a wolf to us. Never pictured in the Bible as a wolf to the sheep. Always the shepherd to the sheep. We're thankful about that today. Let's close.